O God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. How many of you have heard this prayer? It was written by a theologian and professor named Reinhold Niebuhr. And if you're a theology geek like me, you've heard of him and his big-brained brother Richard, who both championed the heady concept of post-liberal theology, which I will not bore you with today. I can only imagine what Thanksgiving was like at their house, the conversation. I'm really more of a simple girl, and I really like this simple prayer that Reinhold wrote because, for good and obvious reasons, it's been adopted by 12-step recovery programs, being called the Serenity Prayer. And it's been the wind beneath many a wing in need of flight. The simple prayer is so popular because it speaks of the struggles of our humanity, specifically that we need help. Often we have spun our wheels thinking that we can face it all on our own using our own willpower. So we plod through every day trying to remold and reroute and recreate the reality around us. We want what is better or different or bigger than we already have. We want our views to be accepted and our ideas applauded, our efforts rewarded, as if all around us were robots that we could control with a remote control. Our family used to get a big kick out of our oldest, who, when he would play with his little brothers, he would pretend that he was controlling them with a little imaginary remote control. And when they would run, he was doing it, you know, and then when they would fall down, he was doing that too. And then when he did what, you know, they were doing and they did it and he didn't want them to do it, then his remote control wasn't working, you know, and he would just throw it down. The inescapable reality is that we don't have a remote control to control others. We don't have total control over anything or anybody. We don't control most situations. We can apply for the job. We can take the medication. We can plead with friends or family members that might be ready to do something dangerous. But at the end of the day, we don't really have a remote control that allows us to manipulate outcomes. Today's Gospel from Matthew is an example of what humans face when we think we control the universe. This passage is apocalyptic and it's full of end times imagery that many a fiery preacher have used to scare those listening into being right with God. But that's not how relationships work and thrive, because fear is not real control. Rather than a tool to scare Christians into being good, like the Southern Baptist preacher at the school I attended in high school, this passage touches on a concept that's much deeper. I remember being literally terrified that one day the rapture would occur, and if I were not saved, or if I had attended an unauthorized student dance in which I'd been too close to someone of the opposite sex, that then the rapture would happen and my best friends would be sucked up to heaven and I would be left behind having to deal with all of the end time stuff like the Antichrist and Armageddon and stuff that I did not want to ever deal with. It was enough to push me right out of the church for a long time. Until I learned that God does not desire to scare us or control us with huge remote controls in the sky. God wants a relationship with us. God wants to know us and for us to know God. And part of that relationship is knowing that God is bigger than us. And sometimes we need to let go and let God. Writer and scholar Richard Bartlett writes that this passage from Matthew reminds us of the profound biblical faith that God is sovereign over all humanity and all of human history. However metaphorically, however mythologically, Jesus tells us in this discourse that the God who created history at the beginning is only history's goad, is not only history's goad, prodding history on, but is also history's goal. And part of this goal of God involves another aspect of our relationship with God, to know that we have been created in love with the ability and agency to make choices, to let go, and to be merciful and be loving, just and peaceful, or to live in chaos of embracing practices that only benefit ourselves. We have the choice to shun the parts of our worldly existence which takes us away from the ideals that God's kingdom is all about. I particularly enjoy our collect of the day, which is from our epistle today, Paul's letter to the Romans. Part of the collect says, "Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Paul suggests that this armor of light is Christ himself. And when we do this, we've made a choice to ask God for help and to put aside all of that soul-sucking, life-zapping stuff that keeps us from being our full selves and living in a true relationship with God. Our passage is from Matthew and Romans and our collect of the day and the Serenity Prayer that we just heard are all gentle yet sober reminders that we acknowledge our helplessness to go this alone. We need help to make a lot of the choices that we have been freely given to make. So we ask God to help us to accept what we cannot change with a total peace and surrender of ourselves, or to dedicate ourselves and courage to change what we can change, and most importantly, the wisdom that will know the difference. This is a poignant message for us on this first day of Advent, because it's a season that's really all about letting go, finding courage, and looking for the wisdom that is the incarnate Word of God. Today begins a time in our church year where we wait with longing for a baby in a manger, knowing all the while that Jesus wants to come to us. He can be born to us again as the history of our faith begins anew, but it is our choice whether we pause long enough to notice and then allow ourselves to be transformed by that miracle. Jesus offers a solace in a swirling world of chaos, of retail madness and accelerated road rage and political turmoil, grief, seasonal sadness. It's our choice to accept or reject, to surrender to peace, knowing we don't have all the answers and we don't know all of God's plan. But we do know we're in God's plan, where we are being held and truly loved. So as we step into this half light of this season of Advent, as we wait for the miracle, as we lean into the things that we don't know, may we have the serenity and courage and wisdom to let Jesus be born in our hearts and to show us the way in peace to love God, our neighbor, and ourselves. Amen.